will, but I got about 8 sermons out of that one song. Jesus said, I just keep on thinking of the woman at the well. Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. It shall be in him the water springing up into life everlasting. Now, I'm thankful for the day that I stopped drinking of this world's water and got some of Jesus. Because the world will leave you dead, broken, and on the side of the road. But I sure am thankful when Jesus stopped by my way and gave me something that would satisfy me for all of eternity. If you have your Bibles today, go to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation 20. We'll read our text from there this morning. Revelation 20. We'll begin in verse number 1. This is the Apostle John writing, of course, from the Isle of Patmos. He's receiving this revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ concerning what's going to happen come the end days, and I believe we're pretty close to these days. Revelation chapter number 1, or Revelation 20, verse number 1. John said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You see that? One angel took the devil and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed after a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Go down to verse number 10. I wasn't planning on reading this, but I like to remind the devil of where he's going. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful for that verse. Because I get tired of that old devil coming to you and me and messing with us all the time. I'm thankful that he's not a victor, but he is a defeated foe, Brother Carroll. In the lake of fire, his destiny is already determined, and he knows it. That's why he's messing with you and I so much today. Because he knows he hath but a short time. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for the power that's still contained in it. Although it was written all these years ago, Lord, it's more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you've revealed it to us, that we might know who you are, God, that we might know about our future, that we might know about eternal life and how to obtain it. The Bible says that the Scriptures make us wise unto salvation. And God, I pray that just one person in here today who's never been born again, who's never come to salvation, who's never had that experience with you, God, I pray that they'll come to you today. Father, we are thankful for salvation today through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the good singing, Lord. And I pray for every word that's said the rest of this service, you'll get the honor and glory for it. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You know, the last few weeks I've been studying these great pastors and evangelists that lived during the Great Reformation, which was during the 1700s. And of course, one of my favorite ones to study was Jonathan Edwards, Brother Max. He was a great man of God, a great pastor. He pastored up in Northampton, Pennsylvania, I believe it was. He was the one that preached the message that was titled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Everybody heard of that? While he preached that message, they said that the people that were gathered together in that congregation, by the end of the message, people were literally climbing up the rafters to get saved because they were so scared that they were going to fall into hell because they hadn't yet repented of their sins. Because Jonathan Edwards used this great illustration that we're nothing more than a spider hanging on the end of its web, dangling over the pits of hell, and the only thing that keeps us from falling in is the goodness, grace, and long-suffering of God. But at any time, we could be too late and we fall in. And he said people were climbing up the rafters by the end of the service because the Holy Spirit of God was so strong in that place. But Jonathan Edwards was a great man of devotion, a great man of commitment to God, and he had resolutions that he lived by. If you've never read his resolutions that he used to live by, you need to look them up. Because one of them's actually helped me just this past week. One of them said that I will never do anything I'd be afraid to do if it were the last moment of my life. In other words, if I knew that it was the last moment of my life, help me not to do anything that I would not do during that last moment. And you know that'll help us. If we realize that our life is short, and then there is coming a day to where it will be the last moment of our life. And he said, help me not to do anything that I would not do except it were that last moment. But this one is the one that I want to kind of bring out today. He said, every morning that I wake up, I want to realize these three things. The shortness of life, the certainty of death, and the length of eternity. He said, I want those three things to be in my mind every single day. Because if I realize how short my life that is even but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away, I'll make the most of my time while I'm here. He said, if I realize the certainty of death, I'll place my priorities in the right things. And if I realize the length of eternity, it'll make me realize how non-important this stuff is down here, and how that's a whole lot more important than all the things down here. And you know, that's what I want to get fixed in our mind today, is the fact that I realize that if Christ be not come for you and I, His bride, there's coming a day to where they're going to have our funeral. There's coming a day to where they're going to lay our body in a casket. Now, one thing stuck out to me. He said, every day I want to realize that death is certain for me, but although the time of it is very uncertain, and it made him live such a different way than he did before. And you know, the fact is, every single one of us are going to die, Brother Johnny. We can't stop it. And you know what that means? We're going to have to spend forever somewhere. We can't spend forever here, because we're going to die. But we have to spend forever somewhere. The psalmist said, David said, none can keep alive his own soul. Did you realize that? There is absolutely nothing that we can do to keep ourselves alive, is there? We can have a good diet. That might help increase your life. You can have a good workout plan. You can have good nutrition. All these things, they might help increase your lifespan. But there's one thing mankind has never been able to stop from coming, and that's death. And you know why? Because we're sinners. The only reason death's here is because sin was here. You say, well, why did Jesus die? He wasn't a sinner. He became sin for us, didn't he? That's why Jesus died. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But this morning, I want that realization to kick in. This may not be a big uplifting sermon, but this is one of the most important things that you'll ever hear, is the fact that we're going to have to spend forever somewhere. And the fact is, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is death's appointment. Because I believe if you and I can just place it in our mind literally every single morning that death is very, very, very certain, but yet the time of it is uncertain, it will make us better servants, it'll make us better church members, it'll make us better husbands, better fathers, better Christians. We realize that death is coming for each and every one of us. But you know, in my generation today, that's something that nobody likes to talk about, is the certainty of death. And because nobody talks about it, death is something that's very misunderstood in our generation, something that nobody really understands. And for today, death means the end for most people. Go on TV and watch when actors die on the TV shows. It's the end for them. They say, we'll never see them again. That's why it's so sad for all of them. They don't have any hope. Because that's what this world believes now. That when we die, we're annihilated. That when we die, we just stop to exist. In other words, we're nothing more than animals. And you realize why these people say we no longer exist when we die, because it's coming out of the evolution movement. If we nothing more than came from monkeys, yeah, when we die, there's nothing else. Because for a monkey, when they die, there's nothing else for them. It's over. And this world thinks just because we came from these monkeys, because of the evolution movement, when we die, it's over too. But we know we did not come from them. We came from Adam, who had an eternal soul that was going to live somewhere. And you and I have an eternal soul that's going to live somewhere. Most of your local Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that when you die, you'll be annihilated. There's nothing. The atheists will tell you, I was listening to one the other day, they asked him, they said, well, what do you think is going to happen when you die? They said, well, it's just over. They said, well, what's the point of this earth then? This is what he said. He said, our job on this earth is to make this world a better place before we die. Well, let me say something. They're doing a pretty terrible job, aren't they? If that's their job, to be here, to make this world a better place and then just end, they're doing a really bad job. Can I tell you, death is never the end. Death is usually just the beginning. And you know, but the main thought today that I want you to realize is out in this world that people think that death is the end. Death is over. When you lay in that casket, that's just it. You're not going to exist anywhere else. You say, well, where is all this coming from? Not just the evolution movement, not just the atheists in our country. The Bible says this, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. By the way, the God of this world is Satan himself. And he says he has blinded the minds of those people that do not believe. And the devil's tactic is this, to get you and I to think about an average of 60, 70, 80 years on this life, how much money we're going to gain, how big our house is going to be, how much friends we're going to make, and all this stuff. He just wants to get our mind on all this stuff, and if he can get your mind off the fact that you're going to have to spend eternity and forever somewhere, he's got you exactly where he wants you. You see, most people don't get quiet enough to realize that they're going to have to spend forever somewhere. That's why unbelievers don't like the quiet. Because it gets them thinking of the fact that this isn't all there is. So the devil wants to be as loud as he can. But the most important question that I could ever ask you is, where are you going to spend forever? But as you realize this morning, we're going to have to spend forever somewhere. And forever is forever. One man said this, eternity is too long to be wrong. Eternity is too long to be wrong. So today, just for the next few minutes, I want you to leave knowing what death is because this world has mixed it up. I want you to know what's going to happen when you die because that's the greatest question in our generation if you look it up. But most of all, 100% sure, I want you to know where you're going to spend your forever. You know, in Revelation chapter number 20, if you still have your Bibles open, go to verse number 6. It says, blessed and holy and he that is hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And that may come as a surprise to some of us that the Bible says there is a second death. We just don't die. Some people don't just die once, they die twice. This is what you'll find here in Revelation chapter number 20. Because if there is a second death, you have to assume there's a first death. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks of three types of death. There are three different deaths according to the Bible. There's a spiritual death, there's a physical death, and here in Revelation 20 you'll find an eternal death. So spiritual, physical, and eternal death. And there's only one of them that's mandatory for every single one of us, and that is spiritual death. Every single one of us go through spiritual death, and that's the first thing I want you to see this morning is spiritual death. Now I've mentioned to you before over the past year that if you want to know the definition or the meaning of a word, what you have to do is go to the first time that it's mentioned in the Bible. That is the law of first mention. And if we want to know what death is, you go to the first time that it's mentioned in the Bible. And the first time death, die, or dead is mentioned is in Genesis chapter number 2. God looks at Adam and says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat from, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. God said, you eat of that tree, that very day you are going to die. Well, we all know what happened, don't we? Genesis chapter number 3 came along. This old serpent showed up in the Garden of Eden, and Adam took the fruit from his wife Eve, and he ate of the fruit. But look what happened. We still see Adam in Genesis chapter number 4, don't we? Adam lived 930 years. But yet God said, when you eat of the fruit, you're going to die this very day. Adam didn't drop dead and just stop living, did he? Adam kept on living. So did God lie? Because God said, in the day you eat, you're going to die. But Adam kept on living. No, we know Adam died, didn't he? In that very day. And you'll find that because death is nothing about annihilation, the end. All death is separation. That's the definition of death in the Bible, is separation. Because you see, in Genesis chapter number 2, Adam and God had perfect fellowship together. There was absolutely nothing that was hindering their relationship. But in Genesis chapter number 3, after Adam ate of the fruit, what did he go do? He went and hid from God, didn't he? He started hiding. Why? Because something came in between their relationship. And that something that came in between their relationship was a thing called sin. And spiritual death is nothing but a separation from the Creator to us. And that separation is sin. That's what spiritual death is. One man said, Scriptures never refer to death as the mere cessation of life, but instead as the unnatural separation of something from that which it belongs. In other words, spiritual death was when Adam was separated from God. And guess what? Because every single person on planet Earth comes from the first father, Adam, every single one of us are born with that same separation from God. And that's why it's so important today that all these scientists get it out that we did come from monkeys, because if we did come from monkeys, we did not inherit a sin nature either. And we're really not sinners. See why it's so important to them? Because if we did all come from Adam, we did inherit his sin nature. He imputed it to us, which means we're dead too. Although we are born into this world, the Bible says when we're born, we're dead. We're spiritually dead. We're separated from God. The Bible says, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, and you being dead in your sins. When somebody is dead, what do they need? A resurrection. When somebody is dead, what do they need? Somebody to bring them back to life. Have you ever seen a dead person bring themselves back to life? No. They need somebody else to do it, don't they? And you see, it's absolutely impossible when you and I are shaping in iniquity. We're born into this world in sin. We're born dead, separated from God. It's impossible for you and I to make ourselves alive. We need somebody else to do it. And some of you know where I'm going. I sure am thankful for that. Somebody else who did it. But every single person on planet Earth is born dead, is born separated from God. And what have we done to fix this condition? To make ourselves alive. You say, well, I've been a good old boy, a good old girl. I've come to church my whole entire life. That won't make you alive. You said, I've read my Bible. I've been a good person. That won't make us alive. But most people even say this. They say, but I believe in God. Do you realize that won't make you alive either? There are thousands upon thousands of people in America that believe in a God. And yet they will die and go to hell. Because believing in God is not what gets you to heaven. The Bible says the demons believe and yet they are going to spend eternity in hell. Because although they believe in God, they reject Him. You see, the fact is we just don't want to believe in God, we want to receive Him, don't we? Because if we don't have Him, we don't have anything. We not only believe that there is a God, but we believe that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not only do we believe, but we receive Him into our life. And what we need today is to be made a new person. In other words, our first birth didn't work, so what do we need? A second one, don't we? Because our first birth, we were born dead, we were born into sin, so we need to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. You say, how do I be born again? He'll tell you in John chapter 1. He says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were not born of the will of man nor of the will of flesh, but were born of God. Jesus says, you must not only be born of water, that's naturally, but you must be born of the Spirit, that's supernaturally. So, well, how do I be born in the Spirit? He just said, to many as believe on His name and receive Him. Let me ask you a question, the most important question I can probably ever ask you. And I realize that most of us have been to church, some of you for 60 years, some of you for 20 years. It doesn't matter whether you come to church, it matters whether you've been born again. Can I ask you, have you ever been born again? October 5th, 1993, I was born into this world in Anderson, South Carolina. I was born one time. I was born into my parents' family. But come February 21st, 2006, Brother Johnny, I was born again. I was born into God's family. I was adopted as His child. Do you see me being born in 1993? It happened one time, didn't it? Me being born again does not happen continually over the face of my life. Being born again happens one time. You say, I've been born again seven times. You can't. You're born again one time. It doesn't take 70 years to be born again. It takes 2 seconds to be born again. When the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of us, when Jesus renews us and makes us a new creature, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what we need. You say, well, what's going to happen if I don't be born again? What's going to happen if I'm dead and I eventually leave this earth? Well, every single one of us knows that physical death is coming for us. There's nothing that we can do to stop it. You say, well, what is physical death? Physical death is the separation of your soul from your body. That's all physical death is. All of us have seen family members die, haven't we? And when they die, their body's still laying on that bed, isn't it? But you know what happens? That invisible soul that God has put on the inside of them, that eternal soul, it departs from their body and it goes somewhere. And you see, the main question that's being asked today in our generation that we're living in is, what's going to happen when I die? Turn on Dr. Oz. He did a show one the other day. Very informative. What's going to happen when I die? Can I tell you, there's people all around this country that are writing books about what happened to them when they died and they come back. You know what most of that is? A scheme to get your money. Amen. Do you want to know what happens when you die? Open the Bible. It'll tell you exactly what happens when you die. You say, well, what's going to happen to those people who are never born again and they die? Well, Luke chapter number 16, Jesus tells about a rich man and Lazarus. The Bible said the rich man, he was rich, he had every single thing he wanted, he probably had all the friends in this life, but the Bible says he died. And the next moment, he opened up his eyes and the Bible says he was in a place called hell, absolutely being in torments. You see, this world believes that hell is a mythical place that we Christians have made up, but if you could ask the rich man if hell was a mythical place, he would say it's very real. And it's very tormenting. It'll last forever. The Bible says he felt the torment. He saw, he remembered Lazarus sitting at his gate. Hell's a place that's real. It's not a fake made up place. It's a real place. And the Bible says when people who are never born again, the very moment they die, their soul enters into this place called hell, or the Bible says in the Greek word Hades, which is the same thing. And they go into that place. And they're tormented forever. Endeavor. You know, there's a main thought actually that's going around our entire world about what happens when you die. And this is what people hope happens when you die. The Catholic religion will teach you this. There's such a thing called purgatory. You say, what's that? Well, purgatory is a place where people go when they die to be purified from their sins in order to achieve the holiness in order they need to enter heaven. In other words, they're not good enough to go to heaven right now, so they got to go to this place called purgatory to where they can be purified from their sins so that when they do become good enough, God will say, you can enter into heaven now, you're now good enough. Can I say I'm as righteous today as I'll ever be? Because I don't have any holiness of my own. If we're trying to achieve holiness on our own, we're in trouble. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. Even the good things we do are wicked. The only holiness that we can have is Christ in me. Exactly what that song said. Holiness is Christ in me. I think I'm telling this right. John F. Kennedy was assassinated 1963. I think that's right. Well, he went to purgatory. And his family has been paying thousands upon thousands of dollars to the Catholic religion year after year to get JFK out of purgatory. Do you see what the devil's done? Very, very, very deceiving. I talked to a friend this weekend. I don't plan on telling this. I talked to a friend this weekend who told me he don't believe in God anymore. And it absolutely will break our heart. Especially when you know somebody who don't believe in God anymore. But he still has this hope, he said, that maybe there's a place called purgatory. To where God will allow him to go. Do you see what the devil's done? He's blinded him. And he said, hey, even if you don't make it right in these few years that you got on earth, God will give you a second chance. Does the Bible teach that? It is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Once to die, and that's it. He said, I don't want anything to do with God. I told him, I said, you might think you can live without Him, but you sure can't die without Him. Because I surely don't want you to die without Him. Every single one of us in here knows somebody who's like that, I'm sure. They don't want anything to do with God. But the Bible says when they die and they're not born again, they enter into this place called hell. They have to spend forever there. And there's no looking back, there's no turning back, there's nothing that you can do there to get out. The devil has completely blinded this world to just get our eyes off of eternity. To say, hey, don't worry about it. Even if you don't make it right now, God's got a place where you can make it right, and then everything will be good. That's what He's doing all across this world today. That's what happens to the unsaved when they die. When their soul departs from their body, they go to that place called Hades. You say, what happens to the saved when they die? Well, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, we won't be dead long enough to know we're dead before we're looking at Jesus. Amen. Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, I can't decide which one I'd rather do, go to heaven and be with Christ or stay down here and help you. He said, but I can tell you what's a whole lot better than staying down here. It's going to heaven to be with Christ. Some of you are in that strait betwixt two today. You'd rather be with Christ, which is far better. Do you think Paul would have been excited to die if there was a place called purgatory? Paul was excited to get out of here. Paul was excited to leave this body that was filled with sin, this body that struggled with temptation. He was excited to leave this world that hated God. He was excited to leave this world that was filled with sin. He was excited to go and be in a place that is far better. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to go to a place which is far better than here. That's what happens to the saved, to the born again, when we depart and be with Christ. And I'm almost done. That's physical death, where your soul leaves your body and it goes to Hades or it goes to the presence of God. But Revelation chapter number 20, I read the verses to you. The Bible says there's a second death. And the second death does not happen to people who are born again. The second death happens to people who are not born again. Because you see, the Bible says when the unsaved, they die, their soul goes to this place called Hades. And then the second death is going to happen, and that's called eternal death. But you see, the second death, which means they're about to die again. You say, how is that possible? Revelation chapter number 20. You say, what's the second death? Verse number 14 tells you. And death and hell, Greek word Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 14 tells you what the second death is. Remember this. I think I talked about it a few weeks ago. If somebody were to die today and they're not born again, they go to this place called hell. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20, after all these things and the end time happens, that these people have to go and stand before the great white throne judgment before Jesus Christ. The books are open, the book of life, the books that have their works in them. And the Bible says Jesus is going to take all those people that have rejected Him, that are unsaved, that said, I don't want anything to do with you. He is going to take them. They are going to go from hell to a place called the lake of fire. See, hell and the lake of fire are two different places. Because it just now said, that was cast into the lake of fire. It's not going to get any better for them. And I told you a few weeks ago, think about those people like Pharaoh, like Goliath. Goliath died the moment David cut his head off. Goliath's soul entered into hell. You know where Goliath hadn't stood? Before the great white throne judgment yet. Can you imagine the fear and the agony of having that to deal with? Goliath was a big dude. But he ain't big compared to God. And you see, when these people stand before God and they're unsaved, you'll hear all across the world people saying, well, I'm going to tell God this. They ain't going to be the ones doing the talking. See, the Bible says the books are going to be opened. And it says the only reason they were cast into the lake of fire was because their name was not written in the book of life. It did not say they went to hell because they drank beer. It didn't say they went to hell because they smoked. It didn't say they went to hell because they went to the bar. It didn't say they went to hell because they cussed. It didn't say they went to hell because of all these things. It said they went to hell because their name was not written in the book of life. People don't go to hell for being a bad person. People go to hell for rejecting Christ. That's the only reason. I sure am thankful there's going to be some bad people in heaven. You looking at one. And I ain't going to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven because I've looked at Christ and said, I need you to get there. And if this world could understand how simple it is that they're literally going to have to spend forever somewhere, and how simple it is to get their name written in the book of life, to look at Jesus and say, I can't get there on my own. I need you. I turn to you. I repent of my sins. I turn to you as my personal Lord and Savior, and I receive you into my life, and your name is written down. And when that name goes down, God ain't got an eraser. Amen. My name is written in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. You say, how do you know your name's written in the book of life? Because the Bible says you can know. That Catholic religion will teach you can't know about your eternal destiny until you die. You don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell until the day you die. Talk about a miserable life. Me going to sleep tonight thinking, boy, I sure hope I make it. I'm not hoping I make it. Jesus already made it for me. He's the forerunner. He went in for me. And He said, you're coming in behind me because you've trusted in me. There's a world all around us. Not just New York. Not just Baltimore. Not just California. But there's a state all around us that you'd be surprised at how many people believe this about death. That it's just over. And if it's not over, they can go to that intermediate place where God can maybe give them place called heaven once they get everything right. If I were to ask you today, have you made things right with God? What would you say? So you say, I'll make things right with God. I'll do this and I'll stop doing that. I'll start coming to church. That's not how you make things right with God. You make things right with God by that person who's in between. Jesus Christ, the middleman. He says, I realize I can't get to you, God, but I sure am thankful you got down to me. And I accept Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. It's so easy for the devil to blind our minds and think, hey, we've been to church all of our life, we're good with God. Coming to church all of our life does not make us good with God. Accepting His Son Jesus makes us good with God. And that is the only way. And today, you may have been to church for 70 years, and yet you're sitting there thinking, I'm not born again. I've never been born again. There's one thing I don't want you to do, be ashamed to walk down here and say, I need to be born again. I'd rather you be ashamed for 2 minutes than be ashamed for all of eternity in hell, saying, I should have got saved when that boy asked me to get saved. And I can't call you. It's only the Holy Spirit of God who draws you. But if He's drawing you today, don't sit. Because Jonathan Edwards said, death is certain, but the time of it is uncertain. So think about that. And God's given us a free gift that whosoever will. I'm thankful for that verse in the Bible, Brother Johnny. Whosoever will, let him come unto me. And He said, if you come, I won't turn you away, but I'll accept you. Musicians, you can come forth. Father, we thank you for your word that tells us the way of eternal life. God, the most important thing about this life is knowing where we're going to spend eternity. Nothing else really matters compared to that. God, I pray that in this place today, that if just somebody walked in and they're looking back, they say, I can't remember being born again. I've been to church, I've done all the right things, but I've never made things right with God through His Son Jesus. I pray today would be the day where they come and get born again. And God, I thank you for that day that you saved me. God, I thank you so much that you said, whosoever will, no matter what we've done, we can come to you. And you can keep us safely in your arms. Lord, we thank you for the salvation you've provided through the death and resurrection of your Son. God, be with us in this invitation. I pray that they wouldn't walk out of here without knowing for sure that Christ is their Savior. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.